two annunciations, Samson and John the Baptist. That's the theme chosen for today, and it's clearly based on the two readings, which are two annunciations. These readings are placed in the midst of this final week of Advent, which is very carefully structured. So I think it's good to reflect a little on the structure of these days. December 17 and 18, we read from the Gospel of Matthew. We hear about the experience of Joseph. Then from December 19, today, up until Christmas, we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to Luke. And he has two annunciations and two births. And in the middle, the visitation, the meeting of the two pregnant women. So two annunciations, two births. We who are, of course, focused on Jesus Christ, and especially if you pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, you know annunciation, the annunciation is the one to Mary. We're going to hear about that tomorrow. But, and then annunciation, first joyful mystery, visitation, second joyful mystery, birth of Jesus, third joyful mystery. So we're used to annunciation, visitation, birth. But there's another annunciation and another birth. That's the annunciation that we read today, the angel appearing to Zechariah, father of John. The visitation, of course, is the same, the two pregnant women, and then the birth of John. So today, annunciation, little A, annunciation to Zechariah. Tomorrow, the big A, annunciation to Mary. On Monday, that's December 21st, and 22nd, we'll be reflecting on the visitation. And then on the 23rd and the 24th, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be reflecting on the birth of John. And the 25th, of course, the birth of Jesus. So two annunciations, two births. Today, we focus on two annunciations. You see, annunciations are not as rare as you might think. There's not only one. We read today the two most famous, other than the one to Mary, the annunciation to the mother of Samson and the annunciation to the father of John the Baptist. Now, when we think of this annunciation, what we're focusing on is God breaking into the darkness or the sterility or the impossibility of the life of man. It's God's initiative. It's God's revelation. He sends an angel to announce good news to people who didn't know if there was going to be any good news. In Advent, we're usually thinking about the experience that's post-annunciation, that is pregnancy. Advent is a season of pregnancy. We know that the child will be born. We know the child is growing in the womb. The 9 days of this in Bhagavad Gita, the novena, are sometimes referred to the 9 months of Mary's pregnancy. Pregnancy is a time of waiting, a time of preparation, a time of expectation. Yes, and you can even predict the due date. Oh, a pregnant woman knows that she's going to give birth in so many months. So the time of waiting is focused on that day, which we know will come. But there's another kind of waiting that we're in before annunciation, before conception. That's what we see in the case of Manoah and his wife in the first reading, and Zechariah and Elizabeth in the Gospel. They're not looking for a due date. They don't think they can have any children. They're experiencing the deep contradiction of barrenness. Which looks like hopelessness. It looks like no fruit can come. It's a waiting, but it's a waiting without expectation. And this is the condition of the world, for the most part. The idea that there's nothing we can do. We're stuck in this pandemic. We're stuck in this broken world. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get better. A lot of people think like that. They think that they're in a hopeless, barren condition. And when people think like that, they fall into all sorts of disorders because no one can tolerate hopelessness. No one can tolerate emptiness. Nature abhors a vacuum. Something's going to fill in the empty space. That's why people fill their lives with all sorts of disorders. Addictions are evidence of this. Why do people drink so much? Why do people use drugs? Why do people fill themselves with disorders, pornography, excessive eating, excessive shopping, computer games and gambling, all kinds? Why do people fill themselves with all this? Because there's an emptiness, a hopelessness. I can't tolerate just living here with nothing. I've got to have something. That's how some people have reacted to the pandemic. Oh, it's never going to end. I might as well escape. I might as well console myself with something else. That's not the response of faith. You see, we're not living in barrenness or hopelessness or sterility. Why? Because of annunciation. Because God has announced his good plan. He has promised that he will come. And anyone who knows that promise and accepts it is not barren anymore. Then we're living in hope. We're living with certainty that God will act. We don't know when, we don't know how, but he will, because God is faithful. That's the condition of people of faith. So that we are post-annunciation people. We're not pre-annunciation. We're not living in barrenness. Now, we might still experience a barrenness, an emptiness, a lifelessness. We might still experience it because we're still waiting for God to act. That's the Advent spirit. We're still waiting for what he promised to be revealed, to be fulfilled. But we're waiting with certainty that he will do it. That's Advent. That's faith. We don't have to fill ourselves with all sorts of sin or all sorts of distraction because we are leaving space open for God. If we're praying, if we're striving, if we're loving, if we're serving, we have space for God, and God can act when he wants to and as he wants to. Now, there's a problem in the case of Zechariah. Zechariah, good man, faithful man, observes all the commandments, blameless, but he no longer expects God to act. Zechariah is a very well-trained Old Testament priest. He knows all the prophecies. You can't say that he gave up simply because he didn't have any children. I mean, we can say that. That's what did happen. But we can't say that he didn't receive any promises. He's a man of the chosen people. He's constantly reflecting on the promises, but he doesn't believe them anymore. This is the danger for religious people. For people with no faith at all, they're in the darkness, and of course they're going to look for anything they can grasp. But for religious people, people who have heard the good news, who have heard the promises of God, they know better than that. We know better than that. But because we don't see God fulfilling his promises, we can fall into the condition of Zechariah. We can. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about us. We can fall into this condition of Zechariah, which is a different kind of barrenness. Not barrenness because God hasn't acted or because he hasn't spoken, but because we are no longer welcoming his word. Condition of doubt. Condition of skepticism. It's a barrier to the Lord. Now, what's beautiful about this passage, annunciation is God's action. God doesn't give his word simply because we're good. He does it because he loves us and he wants to save us. So God gives this message to Zechariah, even though he's not ready to receive it. Zechariah says, "Oh, come on. That's impossible. I'm old. My wife is old. Come on." That's his reaction. You can't tell me that. He's speaking to an angel in the sanctuary of the temple at the hour of incense. He's at the very most sacred place, most sacred time. And his reaction is, "That's impossible. How can that be? I'm old. There's no hope for me and for my wife." See how his reaction is the wrong reaction to the revelation. But God doesn't stop his plan simply because we're not ready. I love how Gabriel says this. "I was sent to speak to you. I was sent to announce," that's why it's annunciation, "I announced to you this good news. But now you have to get out of the way. You have to be silent. Until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." God, when he makes a promise, he fulfills it. If we don't accept it, we miss out. If we don't receive in faith what he reveals, we miss out. But God doesn't stop. Maybe he delays. Maybe he does it a different way. But God does not give up on saving us. He speaks and he fulfills what he says. He gives an annunciation and that annunciation bears fruit. So the key thing here is to receive with faith what God promises. To receive with faith what God promises, even when we can't see or understand how he's going to do it. The wrong response to God is, "That's impossible." That's the wrong thing to say, because with God, nothing is impossible. But don't say that to God. Don't say that's impossible. You can say it to man. You can say it to yourself. "Oh yeah, for me, it's impossible." But not for God. For my family, for my community, for this society, it's impossible. Sure, of course it's impossible. But not for God. You see the difference of faith? Faith is not reliance on human possibility. Faith is reliance on God. And God is good. God fulfills his promises. Doesn't matter if we can see it or understand it. Of course we can't understand it. It's God. How can an old woman become pregnant? I don't know. How can a virgin become pregnant? I don't know. How can a dead man come back to life? I don't know. Does that mean it can't happen? No, because God can do those things. This is all the evidence before us. God has made the old woman pregnant. And we know, we'll hear about the birth of John the Baptist. God has made the virgin pregnant, bore the Savior. We know the story. God has brought the dead to life. He has himself died and come back to life. These are things that have already happened. Are they impossible? For man, yes. But not for God. So when we receive annunciation, and every day we hear the word of God, every day we have evidence of God at work, the response is faith. "Yes, Lord. Your will be done, Lord." The response is not, "How can it be so? Prove it to me. It's impossible. Don't tell me those things." Don't do that. That's a natural reaction. We have to overcome it. The right response is, your will be done. And when we make that response, we leave space for God to act in his own time, in his own way. That's the right Advent disposition. And we need that if we're going to be able to celebrate the coming of the Lord.